It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here. Always good to see my friend, Captain Mike Ward.
Man, it's always good to be here with the turkey killer, Sean Sullivan.
We could talk about turkey killing. We can also talk about my fashion show going on in here today.
Yeah, man, you looking pretty today.
Thank you.
Only thing you were lacking is a dress.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever admitted to this before on the show. When you say something like that, everybody perks up and listens. I don't know if I've ever said this secret before, but I have a problem. I have an addiction.
You sure do.
It's one thing. I mean, you've seen me. I shoot the same old guns. Yeah. I have gotten, with TSS, I got a new gun.
People are thinking right now, we're talking heels or no heels?
It's turkey vests. It's vest. I mean, I wear at work. I mean, the people at work will probably tell you I wear the same blue jeans and button-down shirt 5 days. I mean, you could tell, it's Tuesday. Sean's wearing the green shirt or whatever. Yeah. Right? But I got a thing for turkey vests, and it's a bad thing. I think this one sitting in here is 6 or 7.
Yeah. That's enough. You would think. Yeah.
And I'm counting the one. I mean, I was talking to you before we started the show. I've often told the story that I still have the Mossy Oak shirt, Bottomland shirt that I bought from Mike when you were on Old Shell.
Now, it's so now we're talking about, I've been out of sporting goods for 20 years.
Yeah,
so
how long ago were you on Old Shell?
Old Shell, that would have been up in the mid-80s.
Okay.
In the early or mid-80s.
So the material's still there. Like, if the wind blows, the thing would rip. I don't wear it or anything. Yeah. I just keep it as, you know, so many great hunts, you know, I had in it. And not too much later after that, I guess, it was in 1990 or so, student at the University of Alabama. And, you know, liked to turkey hunt already, but it never had a turkey vest. I think Dad just had me put calls in my pocket or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember one time sitting on a phone book, but that's another story, you know, for a seat, like my booster chair. But going over to Mossy Oak had an outlet store in West Point.
They did. Or I guess they still do.
Yeah, maybe they do.
Yeah.
But where, like, they had the bins with the stuff that wasn't sewn perfectly or whatever, and they had a big discount. That was my first turkey vest, Greenleaf. Still have that one.
Yeah.
The second you put something in the pocket of that vest, you might as well just go throw it in the pine straw because it fell out. I mean, it's like the cushion was about the width of a piece of loose leaf paper.
Yeah.
But I was so proud of that thing. Oh my gosh, strutted around to that baby. And since then, about vest after vest, as I go, well, I don't like this one. The latest one I got is a running gun super light vest. So I've got the heavy Barco Lounger turkey vest, and I got this one here that's 2 pounds because
it is light. It's the lightest one I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's
and what's the brand name?
Sitka.
Okay.
That's the thing. I own no other Sitka stuff. Not against it. I just never. I mean, I got the clothes I need, and I can't. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Sure.
To buy that stuff, but this vest, they said the lightest turkey vest out there. I'm like, I had to have it. I'm sorry. So I have an addiction. Okay, there.
But, everybody, you know, if you're going to run a gun, that is a really nice
I wish I would have had this when I used to hunt undisclosed big public track in the river swamp.
Yeah.
Because we put miles on our lacrosse boots. I mean, wear them out walking and everything. You know, your turkey vest felt fine when you started walking in the morning, which we'd walk in 45 minutes before light, an hour before light to get to where we wanted to be. They're all fine. When you're coming out at the end of the day, stuff swinging. The straps felt like they were digging through your shoulder. I mean, you know.
That's if you don't have a turkey.
You had a turkey. Yeah, you and I were laughing about that. You know, because it didn't. That vest did have a pocket in the back, but I had other stuff in there. We'd be holding the turkey. First 100 yards or so, you're like, yeah, I can carry this turkey out. About a quarter mile in, it felt like I was dragging an anvil or something. So I don't know, but yeah. So
we've all done it.
A new turkey vest in the mix. So yeah, I got lucky. I had a good hunt opening day. I say I got lucky too because it's a rarity that I kill one on opening day.
Yeah.
Day 2 and 3 are usually pretty good for me. 2, 3, and 4, but I've probably killed a turkey on opening day 5 times maybe.
Yeah.
Ever. Now the next that first week I'll kill a turkey, but Yeah, so I got lucky and killed one on opening day.
So tell me your story.
It's a story of weight.
Patience.
Yeah, it's a patience story. Even though I had the kind of clock ticking to get here to the office, but had a turkey, you know, gobble at me. I just knew where he was, right?
Right.
But he wasn't exactly where I thought he was. I had set up where I thought he was. He was about 200 yards away from there. He pitches down. He had pitched down, gobbled at me, and then decided to go absolutely the opposite way from me. And
well, that's normal.
Right. And we talk about how much of turkey hunting is hunting or woodsmanship, right, or knowing your land, yeah, right? So I had an idea what course, and I went to get ahead of him, big loop around, and he ended up in a pasture. It's not a big pasture, you know, the one on the south, yeah, end. It's about 5 acres, 6 acres. And he and another gobbler got in there, and I couldn't even break in the pasture. I was on the road coming in because they were already in there. And for 45 minutes, they didn't move outside the, you know, 5-10 feet. You know, they just stand there and they're doing gobbler stuff. They're gobbling, they're strutting, they're waiting for hens to come, yeah, to them.
And that's what normally happens.
Yeah.
The hens, yeah, come to them.
So I, you know, sat there and said, well, you know, this is going to be one of these things. And but the fact there were two gobblers gave me some hope. I didn't get up and leave because there were two. And right, sometimes when there's two, one breaks off. And and in this case, it was actually the bigger bird. I never saw them together. I could hear them. I mean, I was 100 yards from them, but through the woods.
You could see, yeah.
And and I could kind of course, you know, I'll do that where you pick a tree and go, okay, they're to the right of this tree. Then, you know, if you hear them move, they're to the left of the tree, they're moving.
Right.
And 45 minutes, they did not move. And finally, I was like, well, I'm going to probably have to get to the office. So, and I had called two, maybe three times in 45 minutes, just regular yelping. I said, well, let me cut at them as I leave here. And I cut at them and they both gobbled. I was like, yeah. And then one started moving.
Isn't it amazing? Just some little different call. Mm-hmm. An aggressive call is what you, mm-hmm, did.
Yep.
You got aggressive with them because you get ready. Because
I was like,
lead.
I gotta, it's
something's got to happen.
100%. Yep. So yep, it cut at him, and that was it. And he did the old come on in and see me and got shot.
Just one came in?
Yeah, the other one never saw the other one.
Yeah, okay.
Even though there were two goblins.
Yeah.
Shot the one. All right. Hey, when we come back, I had a chance to talk to Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries for the state of Alabama, our buddy Chuck Sykes, about his turkey season so far and some questions on turkey numbers. We'll play that when we come back, and then Mike and I will come to wrap up the show after that. Be right back. Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you along. And good to get this man pried away from the turkey woods long enough to talk to us here in early turkey season 2025. Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries for the state of Alabama, our buddy Chuck Sykes. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. If the weather wasn't bad, I wouldn't be able to do it. But, you know, I've gone a couple of days, so I'm not as mad at them as I used to be. And nasty weather, I took the day off.
Okay, so pull back the curtain. Our conversation before we started this, I said, I'm going to write a book about why turkey, it's going to be called Why Turkeys Gobble and Why They Don't. And it's going to have one page in it that says, I don't know. It's like, you spent more time than anybody I know in the turkey woods, but you and I are having a conversation. That was opening day for me. It was some fog. It was good to kill one. Then Wednesday, it was foggy as all get out, and they blew the pond straw off the long leaves. And then it was Thursday morning, was clear, and they hardly gobbled. Now, explain this. You've got the science, not only time the turkey woods, you've got the biology degree, you got all this stuff. Why has that happened, Chuck?
Oh, I think you'd have a bestseller if you put that book out. Because, look, I've been hunting with the same, and I call them kids now, but one's in med school, one just graduated from Auburn. I've been hunting with them every opening morning for a decade. This Tuesday was 10 years.
Wow.
And when I got up, I had to drive about 45 minutes to get to them. If I'd been going with them, I would have gone back to bed because it was like pea soup. It was awful fog. I mean, awful. Good grief. We get in there, turkey's gobbling before 6 o'clock. Called up two at 6:30, killed one, standing around talking, turkey still gobbling. Sat right back down, called up three more. The other brother killed one. Left and still turkeys gobbling. And I can tell you, I would not have gone if it hadn't been for them.
But everything, you know, we've been told, it's foggy. They're not supposed to gobble when it's foggy.
Well, they didn't know it. I guess they were happy it was opening day, just like I was happy it was opening day.
It left me scratching my head to the point that, you wouldn't have gone, but you went because you're taking those boys. I did the opposite. It was so busy in our woods on Wednesday morning. I made a call to my nephew. I said, "You want to kill a turkey?" Yeah, I want to kill a turkey. I said, "But if it's half as good as it was yesterday, it's going to be a heck of a day." It was 1/10 as good. It was like, I don't know what happened. I mean, I would have said Thursday morning weather wise for me was way better than Wednesday morning, but I don't know.
You can't ever tell. We went back yesterday, I guess Wednesday morning. There was a slew. We sat up on one side. Turkeys were on the other side. Gobbling, 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 gobbling. So Thursday morning, we go in early, cross the slew. It's right at the top of your boots in the pitch black dark. Get across the slew, set up. Turkeys are there, but they go the other way, other than the brother of the one that was shot at Tuesday, and he came in, had a peek about 45 yards, and turned around and left. And there was a turkey just ripping it right where we set up the day before on the other side of the slough. And we sat there and listened to him for about 3 hours because there's one place to cross.
And that's where he was? And that's probably where he was, right, yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Yep.
I guess that's what keeps us going, man.
I guess so.
It's
good morning, bud, with good friends, and get called to them and have them gobble. That's a good day.
It is a good day. How about on, we'll talk around the state, but on y'all's property, how's your population looking? Because conversations I've had, I mean, maybe I had a decent hatch, I think, on our place last year, but this is all anecdotal, and like you've taught me over time, every property's, you know, site specific. It seemed like people were talking about, like, I saw a lot of, you know, saw a lot of Jennies and Jakes this year. How about you? How about folks that are near you?
Yeah. With our brood survey, the statewide brood survey, this was the first year in like 12 years that we had two poults per hen.
And explain people that measure too. How many poults per hen is neutral, you know, what number's negative, neutral, and positive?
That's neutral. Anything below two, you're declining. Anything above two, you're slowly increasing. You typically want it three or better, but we hit two last year for the first time in over a decade. So, you know, it's really not anything to jump up and down about two. Yeah. But considering we hadn't done it in 10 years, that's monumental.
Well, it's better than going the other way.
Yeah, and on our places, look, we shut ours down about 4 years ago. We have not killed a turkey on our places. And we did a lot of burning. We did some timber thinning. And I had a fantastic hatch last year on two of the places, the family places. So may try to take a bird this year, but probably gonna wait and give it one more year and let these Jakes, hopefully they'll hang around and a bunch of them will make it, and then we'll try them next year.
You know, I ask about the people around you as well for the, you know, that you could manage your place correctly. And you're kind of an island. If you have people around you manage correctly, then I think it's the parts are greater than the whole. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but, you know, it seems.
Also, the larger block you have that's doing the right thing, the better off you are. and that's our properties are not that big, so there's a lot of pressure around it. So honestly, I figure if the couple of long beards we've got can make it through the gauntlet, I'm not going to kill them.
You know, it's but there might be, like you've said over time, that, you know, you can talk about that property because it's specific to that area. Somebody, you know, 30 minutes away, maybe a different story on that place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, there's some places that folk, I've talked to them, they did not have a hatch. Some had great hatches. So, as you said, it's site specific. But overall, statewide, this was the best year that we've had in a decade.
Well, let's hopefully that continues up there. I mean, of course, you could do everything right management-wise, but the weather is a big factor in it.
Oh, it is, but there's no substitute. You and I have talked about it for years for habitat. Thinning, burning, and then if you can do some trapping, that helps too, and not putting so much pressure on them.
Yeah,
and you know how much I love to shoot turkeys or have somebody yep. turkeys. And,
you like to see turkeys get shot.
Yes, and we just made a conscious decision about 7 years ago that we were not going to hunt on our place till after April 1. That was just self-imposed. That's what we wanted to do. And then the past 4 years, we said we just don't have enough. We've got some, but we want more, so we're going to leave them alone, no pressure, and hopefully they do good. And last year we had the best hatch that I can remember ever having.
Wow, that's saying something. He's just joining us, talking to Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, Chuck Sykes. I want to talk about the numbers and what's possible. You know, it's funny, on the deer side, we're always talking about getting populations in check, bringing them back, right? Keeping things at carrying capacity. I don't know if I've ever heard a conversation about carrying capacity on turkeys. I wonder what is possible, you know, in Alabama. Site specific, I get it. But, you know, you read the old Bartram stories and stuff like that. They talked about in their travels that they couldn't hardly sleep in the morning for the gobbling of turkeys. You know, I wonder what. You know, we can go back to the 90s and we talk about that too, but what is carrying capacity for in a perfect world? Did y'all ever run like models like that in school? Or
That sort of goes along with your book that you're going to be writing. you know, what is carrying capacity for a turkey? I don't know. It just, I don't know, and I don't put a whole lot of faith in capacities like that for deer or turkeys, because it's week to week, month to month, property to property, it changes. So
right,
I can tell you on the 1,000 acres that we hunt on the river that we had hunted in 4 years, I can remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s, there'd be 8 or 10 turkeys gobbling on it. You'd kill 4 or 5 every year.
Yep.
And with the water levels fluctuating the way they have the past few years and the poor hatch, you know, if we saw 2 gobblers during deer season, we were happy.
Wow.
And then you'd get a flood come up in the first week of March, second week of March, and then the hens would take off because they were getting ready to look for nesting spots, and they're not going to nest in that low area, and boom, gone, because the pines that we had in the bottom had reached canopy closure and it wasn't good habitat. Well, we thinned it 2 years ago, burnt part of it last year, burnt another part of it this year. So we've got turkey habitat now. Even if the water comes up, we've got pockets, you know, a couple of 100 acres that those hens can still stay and nest. And I think that's what did it last year. That's why we had such a good hatch.
Okay, so let's take us back to the 90s, because, I mean, that was, you know, it's the heydays for me, too. I mean, it was, I hunted a little bit in the 80s growing up, and it was back in the, sit there at a ground blind with Dad and a buddy of his who had the land, and you'd yelp 3 times and put the yelper down, not touch it again for an hour. It was old school, right?
Yep.
There were turkeys, but it wasn't, but then I got kind of out on my own as a later teenager, and it hit the 90s, and I guess I thought that's the way it always had been. It was crazy good. Did we dumb into that because of timber management, or was there something going on with the population increase that was natural? I mean, why was it good in the 90s?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think the stocking had taken place, and every available piece of suitable habitat probably had birds on it. And then over time, the habitat quality left, the hunting pressure came up, and you started to see that downward trend.
So, okay, so it was getting pressure from both sides. It was that the habitat that they, back then, people probably weren't managing for a turkey, not most people, but the things they were doing with timber were beneficial for it, and nobody was shooting, not that many people were shooting them.
That, to me, that's the biggest thing. Okay. I mean, you know, again, we've talked about it, but a lot of people that hunt today don't realize that back in the 80s, late 80s and 90s, when I was in college, you could get in just about any hunting club around and just pay your lease and tell them, I will not be there during deer season. Well, they were tickled to death because they were deer hunters. And you'd be on a 2,000 or 3,000 acre hunting lease, and there might be one guy that would go sit and cluck three times like you're talking about, and that was it.
Yeah.
But you can't do that now.
No, nobody's, well, I don't say nobody, but I don't hear anybody going, hey, we'll sublease the turkey rights.
No. And, you know, back then, there'd 8 or 10 turkeys, kill 2 or 3, you'd leave some. Mm-hmm. Now you got guys that they have to pool their money. They work hard to get a lease. There's 5 of them that's got a lease. There's 3 turkeys gobbling on it. Well, who's not going to get to shoot one?
Right.
Or who's not going to get to shoot two? It doesn't work that way. If they can, those 3 turkeys are going to die.
Yeah. No, it's right. And each person, like you said, that they're not looking at it holistically. They're looking at it as, hey, I paid my money in this lease. I got as much right to shoot that turkey as Chuck over there does.
Yep. You and I are a little bit more fortunate that mm-hmm. we've got a place where we can say, no, as bad as I want to go and shoot a turkey, it's just not right. I'm not going to do it. We'll wait till it's better.
It's so where are we? I know I'm walking by the hornet's nest with a tennis racket and smacking it here. I do know what I'm doing. But the numbers coming in for turkey check for last year, do you have any faith in those numbers for what the harvest is? I'm backing away from the microphone.
Well, I mean, I've got all the game check numbers for the past 5 years. We had more turkeys game checked the first week last year than we ever have.
Okay. That's a positive thing. I mean, because what we're going, if y'all hadn't heard the conversation before, director here doesn't think that everybody kills a turkey is game checking it. Am I quoting you correctly?
I would say that is 100% accurate.
Okay. So what is the – so we're getting closer maybe if – what's the is there any way of making an estimate of how many turkeys are killed versus what's being reported?
I would say 50-50.
Okay.
That's just a wag, but I'd say
is that 50. A guy who shoots one and doesn't report it because he's just done, or is it a guy that's shooting more than 4?
I think it's some of both. Okay. I think it's some of both. I mean, according to the data that's game checked, a fraction of hunters are killing 4 birds.
Yeah, it's got to be. You got to have no job.
Yeah. We're killing 1 bird. There's a few more that's killing 2. A handful are killing 3. And just a fraction of the ones that kill 1 actually kill 4. Now, on the other side, you probably got a bunch that are killing 10, 15, whatever they can kill. Those are the ones that started hunting in February. Well, they're gobbling. It's time to hunt them.
Mm-hmm.
Gobbled out by the time the season comes in. You know, you've got that crowd.
You know, the gobbled out thing, I think it goes back to my book. Maybe it'll be my second book. And I'm lucky enough to live on the land where I hunt. And like I talked about this last week with them gobbling in the fog and not gobbling when it's clear, I can be in a time when you're like, okay, there's no birds gobbling. They're done. And don't hear anything. Perfect. The next day, all of a sudden, then they're gobbling. I mean, so if somebody, you know, or they go 2 or 3 days without gobbling, then they start blowing the leaves off the trees again. So if you, if you're not as lucky as I am, blessed like that, and you just happen to be there that Saturday and Sunday, they didn't gobble, then you figure they gobbled out. Well, when you're at work on Monday, they're getting after it.
Oh, some of the best hunts I've had the past couple of years in Alabama has been the last couple of days of the season.
Yep. I've killed my Maybirds for sure.
Yeah. The past 2 years have been phenomenal the last few days of the season.
You're right. I'd be gobbling. And I mean, I think if people run game cams too, even if y'all aren't hearing them, you're going to see that if you leave your cameras up, they're strutting in June. I mean, blown up like beach balls right in front of the camera.
Yeah. I mean, they start in January. There's turkeys gobbling during bow season on a pretty morning. I mean, hens go by photo period. The majority of them are going to start breeding now. Yes, there was some that probably got bred in early March. There's going to be some that's going to be bred in May and June. But the vast majority of them is right now. And I think that's why we killed more turkeys last year, or game checked more turkeys last year than we ever have, is because the season date is opening a little bit closer to when it should. And they're right. They worked good.
Yeah.
They had breeding hens. They were out looking. And I mean, really and truly, isn't that what we're supposed to do, is make sure they're healthy, make sure we got them bred,
yep,
and then go in and take them?
Well, that's what we always talk about. They're expendable, right? Like the gobbler is expendable only after he's done the breeding. Now, once the breeding's done, then, yeah, truly he's, you know, he's not – sorry, guys, we're not as important after that point, you know? I mean, that's but that was the thing that people hadn't heard past shows we talked about. That some of the research coming out was showing there were hens that it's not that they, when they didn't have a nest, it's not that they lost the nest. They didn't ever have a nest because they didn't get bred.
It, look, you look at social media just like I do, and it can be the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world. And I get accused of all kind of stuff, and that's fine. But the people that are going around saying that the season is coming in too late, turkeys are going to be gobbled out, they've already done their breeding, I want to go hunt the 1st of March. Not one has said anything positive about the species itself. It's all about them. And until that changes, there's no rule and regulation that's going to fix ethics or morality or greed. So all we can do is what we can do.
But it is a tough thing. I mean, I talk about this with your compatriot Scott Bannon on the Marine side, that there's a human element. You're in the wildlife management business, but you're in the human management business too, you know, and that's part of it. And you painted that picture about that hunting club where everybody's paid their money, or, you know, I cut my teeth. I hunted a lot of public land in Alabama for turkeys for a long time. And because you're detached from that land other than during the hunting season, it takes an even better conservationist and sportsman to start thinking like that on a place that they don't get to go to every day, maybe.
Absolutely.
So I don't know how you change. So yeah, I mean, you're tasked with, you know, managing the people's wildlife of the state of Alabama, but you gotta manage the people too. How you have like a counseling session for people? What you gonna put up? What are we gonna do?
Yeah, wildlife is easy. Wildlife management is not hard. Food, cover, and water. That's it. I mean, that's basic. But when you throw humans in it, and again, it goes back to selfishness and greed. When they start thinking about the bird or thinking about the deer or thinking about the fish and doing what's right for the animal or the fish that you're going after, it may hamper what you want to do for a little bit. But what happens if it really takes a turn for the worse? What's more important?
No, it's still, and you and I have talked about it before, maybe not even on the show, but it's short-term greed versus long-term greed. I'm guilty of long-term greed. Wanting turkeys for the rest of my life till they put me in the dirt, and then for my children and their friends have turkeys. So, I do have a greed. It's just maybe a little more long-term than short-term.
That's it. That's it. We've got to look long-term, and we've got to look at more than our little piece of heaven and the echo chamber that we're in with all of our friends. You've got to look around, because you might have it great. You've got a bunch of birds on your plate. You work your butt off. You spend a lot of money. You do all the things that you need to do. So you're in good shape. But you also realize that there's a lot of places that are not in good shape, and you might have to step back a little bit for the good of the whole. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's hard for people to do that.
Yeah, I didn't know this. Yeah, I mean, it's turkey talk, and it's a human sermon going on here as well. Well, hopefully the numbers start rolling in for game check, and we do better than 50-50 this year. And fingers crossed on that.
Well, we can always hope.
Well said. That's why we go turkey hunting on foggy mornings.
That's right.
As always, I appreciate our conversations, and we'll get you back on the show soon.
10-4. Thanks, sir. Good luck the rest of the season.
You too. There's Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries for the state of Alabama, Chuck Sykes, our guest.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. And I appreciate it. Yeah, I had to get that recorded earlier with Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, Chuck Sykes. Pretty good turkey stories from him. And Mike, because you weren't there at that recording, you didn't get to hear. I unveiled my book idea. I told you I had a turkey book coming out.
I have a turkey book coming out.
I unveiled it there in that interview with Chuck, but I want to tell you about that turkey book.
Is it the things to do or the things not to do?
The book is entitled Why Turkeys Gobble and Why They Don't. Okay. So you open the book.
I'm going to have to read this book.
Okay. Open the book. There'll be a preface there, and I'll dedicate it to my children and all that. You know, dedicated thank you for all the. And then there'll be table of contents. There's just one chapter, and actually there's just one sentence, and it's you open it to that page, and you open it up, and it says, "The hell if I know," and then the next page says, "The end." It's going to be a bestseller. It's going to be huge. It's off a conversation that, like, you and I and Jay Graddick had, too. So let's go back through this week.
Yeah.
Okay. So Tuesday was, it was foggy Tuesday. Birds gobbled, okay. Wrong. Killed one. Opening day. Wednesday, fog was thick. I've never heard so much gobbling.
Yeah.
Fog was thick.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to gobble. Just out of control.
No, and you're right, Sean. Nobody knows what causes that.
This goes back to the discussion about when people say they're gobbled out, and I say, I'm so blessed to live on the land to hunt that I can tell y'all, you go 2 days on a place and when it's pretty and be like, they're gobbled out, they're not gobbled. Day three, for some reason, they go berserk. But this last week, so that was Tuesday, that Wednesday was foggy, birds gobbled their heads off.
Yeah.
So I called my nephew, and I really wanted him to kill, he's killed turkeys, but I mean, I wanted him to kill one with me, love hunting with him. I said, all right, here's the jinx. I said, if it's half as good as it was Wednesday, we're going to have a great morning. Because like you and I talk about, it's not the killing is, I mean, I'm out there to kill something, but I'm out there for the show and the gobbling.
Yeah.
If it was just killing them, they didn't make noise, I probably wouldn't. I do like eating them, though. Been eating turkey all week. Yeah. So I said, if it's half as good. And Thursday morning didn't have fog. It was clear and beautiful, still beautiful, perfect morning. let me say, I probably heard, combined with different turkeys, I probably heard 300-plus gobbles on Wednesday morning in the fog.
How many birds?
I don't want to tell. I'll tell you off there a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, it's significant.
Yeah.
And then, so Thursday, the weather's even better. By all the books we've read and all those things, the weather's even better. I think we heard 7 gobbles the entire morning. On Wednesday morning, the fog, it was 617. And y'all that hunt, 617, they were ripping it. They didn't, I didn't hear the first gobble off in the distance where you just hear the, la, la, la.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that till 646, 647.
That's strange, isn't it?
So, same place, I'm air quoting, doesn't work on radio, better weather, no fog.
Did they gobble Wednesday morning on up into the...
They gobbled Wednesday, and I had to get up to go.
Day?
I had a doctor's appointment.
Okay.
So I ended up, I can tell that story, I had to get up because, and I had one bird come right to me and then shut up. I figured he was strutting. Don't know what happened to that bird. But I had more than one bird coming in on me because I had been yelping that single bird. But I had to get up and go to the doctor's appointment that had to move and all this stuff. This appointment, I was like, why do I care? I should just let my health go to hell. I'm turkey hunting. I had to get up and go out through a thicket because I was so scared the birds would. I didn't want to bump any of the birds. I was like, well, if I have to bump the one that's right here, I got up early. Like, instead of waiting them out, it was 7:10. I got up because I said, I'd rather just bump this one bird than bump multiple. And got up. And I mean, the whole way, walking back to my house, finished shower, walking out. I'm just listening to them. It didn't stop. I mean, at some point it did, but I mean, I was gone. Had to go to get poked and prodded at the doctor's office.
That was Wednesday.
That's Wednesday.
Okay.
See,
now
they're gobbling their heads off.
Up at my place, now, right at daylight, they were gobbling their heads off, and they were gobbling good, and I got in on two of them.
Wednesday.
Wednesday morning.
Okay.
It wasn't foggy up at my place.
Okay. See, now it was foggy down here.
It wasn't foggy up there. It was a beautiful morning. Just, you know, 48 degrees or something. Just beautiful.
Right.
So they gobbling. I mean, on the other property, on my
Round
old game fence next to me, I mean, I bet I heard at least 8 or more gobbling over there. And there was 2 on me gobbling. So I get in there, 150 yards from them. So set up on them, and they still gobbling. And I'm just waiting, a little while, I didn't say anything to them at all, and then all of a sudden they quit gobbling. All of them. I'm talking about all the turkeys across the fence. Everything stopped gobbling right after daylight. But they were gobbling. I mean, it was gobble, 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 gobble.
And nothing after.
And then after daylight, maybe 6:30, there was no more turkeys gobbling. Period.
Okay, so
those that I went to. Shut up. I never heard them again.
Not like anything, not any one thing could have spooked all the, they're so far.
There's a few crows that morning, right at daylight.
Okay, so
And then after that, there was no more crow calls, no more birds chirping, no more. I mean, it's like, what in the world is going on?
So what I think is, so my next book, after Why Turkeys Gobble and Why They Don't, will be Why Turkeys Stop Gobbling and Why They Don't Stop Gobbling. And I'll actually just cut and paste from the other book.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So it keeps it fun, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So they just shut off. What about, I guess everybody around you, same thing. I mean, it's like they just shut up.
I heard a shot like at 9 o'clock that morning, that Wednesday morning, up north of me. And I don't know whether they killed turkey or just shooting or whatever, but I did hear a shot. But that was the only shot I heard, but I don't understand now. The day before opening day, I mean, the turkey was gobbling, and then 8 o'clock they were still gobbling over in the, not on my property,
right? But I mean,
on my property they were still turkey gobbling, every now and then on me.
Uh huh.
But it wasn't that way Wednesday. I don't know. I don't understand. Why did they all shut up?
I don't know, man.
And why was the crow? Why did the crows stop crowing?
I don't know.
What happened to the crows?
That's going to be our third book. Why did crows stop calling and why they don't?
Birds chirping? I mean, nothing. It's like I'm in a desert.
So, and if somebody would have pulled in then and listened, they'd say, man, these birds are gobbled out. There's no turkeys here.
That's right. It's over with.
All right. Coming right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Yeah, we made it through a whole show. We didn't even talk fishing.
Not at all.
I'll ask you this way. How good is the bass fishing up the country right now?
Well, I haven't even been. That's how good it is.
That's pretty
good. I just haven't had a chance to go and do any. With turkey season just coming in, normally I'll in the middle of the day run and go catch, some fish, bass during the middle of the day. But, it's just gotten started, so I'm hunting pretty much all day.
That you do?
I did. Now, opening day, Sean, I sat down in one spot from about 6:15 to about 12 o'clock. I got up, went back to my truck, got something to eat, and I came back about 1:15, give or take a little bit, and set up, and I stayed to pitch dark.
See, for everybody else, their jaws are dropping open. I've hunted with you enough and know that's a Mike Ward thing.
But here's the thing, and I keep saying this, and I said this many times on the show, my place is open, especially this time of year.
Right.
It's pretty open. I'm hunting about 150 acres of
like turkey woods. Yeah.
And I get to moving around and fooling around there, I'm going to mess the whole place up. So I need to go and sit down. Now, the other morning, Wednesday morning, it was dark and they were gobbling, so I was able to get through the woods to get to where they were.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was good daylight, I wouldn't have done that because, they're up in the pine trees and we're open and they'd see me coming.
I want to say this, too, as we got last 30 seconds here, because I talked about vests and all that. Mike Ward has a system to be able to sit all day. You use a turkey chair, right?
A turkey chair, and then I got a cushion to go in that. It's a seat cushion with a back cushion. So I can sit in that and be comfortable pretty much all day.
Yeah, and I've got one of those turkey chairs. My problem is my turkey chair weighs like 384 pounds.
Well, they're not light. By the time you take a blind and take your cushion and take your, you got your vest on.
That's why you have a grandson. He should follow you around carrying all your stuff.
No, he's got too many other activities. He ain't hunting with him right now.
Come on, son. Let's go. You can carry all this.
Call girlfriends.
Yeah, right? They start a lot of trouble out there. Yep. All right. We'll do it again next week. And then I'll be leaving after that, going to Florida. Yeah, Osceola hunt. We'll talk about that as well. All right. Y'all have a great one.